The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
It's time for The Drives Top 4 at 4.
All right, Brandon Orrick is in with the top four at four to start things off here in hour number two of The Drive.
All right, Russ, top four at four. Number one, Tennessee baseball gets the series win at Florida this past weekend, clinching an SEC tournament berth for the first time since 2016.
Coach Meatstick, big stuff. So we're in the SEC tournament.
Yep.
NCAA tournament, still a distinct possibility?
Still a possibility. And, I mean, you've got a series with Ole Miss at home this weekend. Ole Miss, pretty good team. I definitely played tougher competition. But I think if you can – I think if you win the series, you're sitting really good to make the NCAA tournament.
For the first time
since 2005.
Very cool stuff. I won't call him Tony Vitelico this week.
Number two, John Boeheim agrees to a deal to become the next coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Can we, and perhaps we should have had this conversation like 10 years ago, and maybe it's just me, but how do you pronounce that guy's name? Is it Boeheim?
I thought it was
Boeheim.
Boeheim, I don't know.
Boeheim? It's not Boeheim.
No, I know the last part is line.
Boeheim. I'm going Boeheim.
Boeheim.
What up?
That's Coach Boeheim, Russell.
Do you think, first of all, like, he's pretty old to be going to the NBA, isn't he?
I don't know. Pop's pretty old.
That's a good point.
I mean, sometimes
though, don't want to be ageist.
No, I just think sometimes older coaches like that can – I imagine it's really hard in the NBA because the guys you're coaching make five times what you make.
It is Boeheim. You are correct. And he is 66.
How bad does that suck for Michigan? Because they got caught out of the blue. What a terrible time. Like, who are they going to get now? In the middle of May? Like, that's not a good time to go have a coaching search, is it? I mean, I know it's a pretty good job, but.
No, it's not.
What do you do? You just hire from within? Does he have. I know his son recently became a head coach, but it was somewhere at like Hofstra or something like that.
Their board quickly has to sit down and figure out, do we name an interim for a year and do a proper search like Ohio State did after the Jim Tressel thing, or do they, you know, not want to give up a year of momentum with their – I don't know what the roster is. Did that roster off this year flip? Is it losing a lot?
I don't know.
I'm not sure, but if I were them, I'd probably go the interim route and then just hire one next year. Because, I mean, you don't want to – you saw what happened with us in football when we rushed the hire.
Yeah.
It
devastated our program for 10 years.
Like, if you're a Michigan fan, and I saw where he's the winningest coach in Michigan history, took him to a Final Four. Like, he's great coach, no doubt about it. But Boeheim, can you give us a bit of a heads up here? Like, I know you probably weren't the Cavs' first choice. Maybe it came out of the blue, but – good grief, you're leaving us in a bind.
Had they been mentioned in any way in any of this FBI stuff? Because that's the first thing I thought of.
No. Like, I mean, he's got a tremendous reputation. He's got a very Barnes-like reputation as guy does it the right way, doesn't play in the gray areas. Now, Michigan has a history, obviously, with the Fab Five and stuff like that.
You really think they got paid?
I mean, the banners came down. They pretty much admitted it. Yeah, I think it's kind of established fact that they were getting paid lots of money to play at Michigan. But Boeheim has a pretty good reputation, as far as I recall. The music's already out. You're only on number three.
Number three.
We'll get a longer bed. Yeah, there you go.
Number three, 2020 cornerback. JUCO cornerback Art Green commits to Tennessee today. As we mentioned earlier, has offers from just about every school in the SEC, not yet rated on 247, but definitely a highly touted cornerback prospect that the Vols picked up today.
Art Green. I like the name. It just, for some reason, conjures up images of classic 80s Redskin, Art yeah. Monk and Daryl Green. So
just smothering.
Maybe Daryl Green. I mean, is he the best corner to ever play the game, or certainly top five?
Daryl Green. Yeah. I mean, he's in the conversation.
Daryl Green.
I will say
Woodson.
This for Daryl Green. Daryl Green kept his wheels longer than anybody.
Oh, yeah. He was still the fastest man in the league at what, the age of 35 or something?
Yeah. I mean, just he could. It defied, like, you would think your eyes were playing tricks on you. His recovery speed.
Unbelievable player.
Number four, couple different things here from the NBA. Had a couple really good game sevens yesterday.
Wow.
In the early matchup, let's see, you had Portland taking on Denver. Portland edges them 196. They will advance to the Western Conference Finals to take on the Golden State Warriors, where Kevin Durant will miss game one and possibly game two with that calf injury. And then in the finale yesterday, you had Toronto beating Philadelphia 92-90 to advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. They will take on the Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals.
And the Rockets couldn't do it. Had that series, I don't want to say handed on them because they were two games down, had to win two games. But, I mean, with Durant out, they couldn't get it done. Couldn't even win the game at home. Couldn't even force game seven. And, I mean, did you see C.J. McCollum last night for the Blazers just going off? I mean, that's going to be a fun series, man. Like, I think the Blazers can play with them, especially if Durant misses some time.
Who all's left now?
Blazers, Warriors, Bucks, Raptors.
I mean, I definitely think that the Blazers have a better chance than the Denver Nuggets would have had as far as being
Warriors. Why is the NBA allowing the Los Angeles Lakers franchise to just wallow in their own filth in the gutter right now?
Jeannie Buss doesn't know what she's doing.
Oh.
I don't mean that as a sexist comment.
I don't. She has no idea what she's doing. Frank Vogel, that was my last one. Lakers hired Frank Vogel over the weekend.
Oh, man.
All of you.
Hey, man.
Straight to hell. Just go.
You pay me, what's his contract? Probably $2 or $3 million a year? I'll be LeBron's babysitter for that. Hey, LeBron, what do you want to run here? Sounds good. Jeannie, check in my drawer. All right. See you guys for work tomorrow. Hell yeah.
You wouldn't tell LeBron why don't you just sit down and shut the hell up?
Yeah, how do you think that's going to work out for you?
Coach Vogel, could you see me in my office after the game?
Is that what LeBron would say?
Coach has taken the black. He's now coaching the Saskatchewan league. He's gone to the wall. That's how that would go. What's left of it, he's gone to the wall. And Kawhi Leonard shot yesterday.
How's that for an iconic finish?
Oh, yeah. And you all hired Jason Kidd as an assistant.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Remember when he was the next big upcoming – wasn't he like
Until
rookie
he got
coach of the year?
For beating up his wife, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was
– With the he Nets. Was, he was
– Well, with the Nets, and then he took the Bucks job.
Am I right on that? I don't want to just throw that out there. Didn't he get arrested for domestic violence?
I think that was back when he was a player. He might have had two, but he definitely had.
He's got a problem, doesn't he? Or he did.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
All right. I'm just asking. So my franchises are Frank Vogel and a guy with,
He's a great player, though.
Okay.
I mean, let's not act like he's the only great athlete that's largely celebrated despite a domestic violence past.
No, but let's not act like, the only basketball team in the NBA I give half a flip about just hired him. That's all as a Laker fan, I'm kind of like, really? Vogel and this guy?
Why didn't they hire Jason Kidd to be the head coach?
Because they knew they couldn't. I guarantee you. They knew because they couldn't. You can't hire him as a head. He's unhireable as a head coach.
Why? Because of that?
Yes.
He's only been hired twice.
As head coaches?
Yes.
How'd he do?
Really good with the Nets. He left of his own accord, kind of detonated his career, but he had them in the playoffs.
I don't know.
The stinking Nets.
I wouldn't hire anybody like that. It's bad news.
Let's see if I can pull up his Wikipedia.
Now you can
page.
Hire anybody now. We're a completely amoral society, Bear. None of that stuff matters. Somebody will hire Greg Schiano.
I want him to
eventually.
Trade LeBron.
It doesn't matter. Urban Meyer's going to coach again.
Like if I were Jeannie Buss. First,
O.J. Simpson will probably own a team. Sorry, go ahead. Aaron Hernandez will come back and play as a ghost.
Do you think that
starting at tight end?
What do you think would happen? Because he doesn't have a trade clause in this contract. What would happen if Jeannie Buss? You think she's got the cojones to call up New Orleans and trade LeBron for Anthony Davis?
I don't know enough about the NBA business. Is that a thing that can happen?
She could trade him.
Don't see it happening. Although, I got to say, and I've never been to L.A., but from what I've seen, I'd rather live in New Orleans.
I probably would, too.
Southern hospitality, good food. Don't have to deal with the traffic quite as bad down there.
Do we have to worry about hurricanes?
It's true. That's true.
And the fact that you live in a bowl and it could sink into the
Gulf
of Mexico.
Well, you live up in the suburbs. You know what? Yeah, you're not going to live down in the bowl. Or you shouldn't. Maybe you would.
I think Alvin does.
Man of the people like that, like LeBron. You think LeBron's a man of the people?
You think he walks home after games the way Alvin Kamara does?
Westchester is next on the drive. Hello, Westchester.
Bear.
Westchester.
Brandon, how we doing?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
Good, good. Hey, Bear, what did you say about you asked a question a minute ago about why isn't the NBA doing anything about LeBron, or how did you phrase that?
Why they're allowing Lakers franchise to wallow in their own filth in the gutter.
Well, because the best thing that can happen – sorry, conspiracy theory coming out here. The best thing that can happen to the NBA is to have two teams in L.A. that actually, like, matter. So as long as LeBron is on the Lakers, then all that does is make the Clippers better because they get all the people that don't want to play with LeBron, right?
No.
Well, I think I'm right. You think I'm wrong. You always think I'm wrong, though, so that's something different.
But this time you're completely wrong.
Well, maybe not right away, but in theory. And in long term,
the Clippers are better than the Lakers. I mean,
well,
there's no debating that.
Right, but are the Clippers better because LeBron's there?
No.
So LeBron is selling
merchandise.
Clippers
are a better run franchise at the moment.
Right, so they have a better franchise that supposedly should sell more merchandise, and in the same team they have in the same city they have LeBron. So yeah, I mean that's like a win-win for the NBA, isn't it? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Not really, because I guarantee you the TV people would much rather like. Who we got? The Bucks, the Raptors, the Golden State Warriors, and whoever else you said. I don't see a lot of thrilling TV marquee, you know. I guarantee the TV people want it, would love to have it, you know, Boston, LA Lakers, or, you know, they want those big TV markets.
You don't think they want to, you don't think the NBA wants two competitive teams in LA, though, for whatever reason?
I have no idea, but they're not going to get it as long as
you know. This
Lakers
is a really hard hitting NBA segment. We're in the middle here.
Right,
I hate to break it up, but I got it. Hold on, Westchester. Move on.
I'll move on. Congratulations to the Fighting Vitellos for pulling the series win and clinching their SEC tournament spot. We can talk positive about the baseball balls on here, right?
I don't do that because every time I try and talk positive about the baseball balls, they just completely go in the tank. So I'm just, you know, my new theory is we just ignore good things here on the drive, and that means good things happen. So we wallow in misery. Huh. But
how's that working out for football?
Yeah. All right. Well, I didn't say it was a well thought out theory, Westchester. I just said it was something that we pulled out our rear ends.
You're workshopping that one, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, let's see. There's no NBA today. There's a NHL game. Hey, speaking of the NHL, how about the Bruins just whooping
up? All right. Thank you, Westchester, for chiming in here this afternoon. Great call by you. But we gotta salvage what's left of the show right now. Quick timeout, 865-546-8200, 546-8200. Back with more after this. Drive continues. Fox Sports Knoxville. Portions of the show brought to you by our friends at Citizens National Bank, where you can earn 1.75% on a free checking account. Citizens National Bank, 21 branches throughout Knox, Sevier, Jefferson, now Hamblin counties. You visit CABTN.com for the branch near you. Call and get the interest you deserve. Call today for details, 865-453-9031 for Citizens National Bank, the official bank of the Drive. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the show. Today's Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question. How's it going with Tennessee football?
I mean, pretty good. Oh.
Is Jeremy Pruitt's rebuilding job on track? 63% of the audience says right on schedule. 28% saying a bit slower than expected. 7% say it's ahead of schedule, and a mere 2% of our now 300 votes cast say it is a complete disaster. Let's get Phil in here next. Good afternoon, Phil. You're on the Drive.
How are you doing? How are you?
What do you say, Philly?
How are you, Bart Broughton? Brandon, though?
Just
doing
fine.
Very well. Thank you.
Well, good. Nice question, isn't it?
What do you think?
It'll probably be 2 more years before we're ahead above water. I mean, until you get a legitimate quarterback and a legitimate running back that, you know, is worth 2 or 3 games a year, which we don't have any at the quarterback or running back position, I just don't see it.
I mean, is this about where you thought it would be at this point, or do you feel like it's a little bit behind?
I think it's worse than I thought it'd be. But all honestly, Bruce Jones destroyed the program, and the big problem is we kept him a year too long. We should have fired him after the Vanderbilt game when they we didn't have no chance of going to the Sugar Bowl. That's when we should have fired him. Mm. He really cared about Tennessee football.
Be kind.
I agree, Phil.
I mean, we keep everybody too long, and it comes back to us.
Well, I mean, who's to say at that point, you know, just to be devil's advocate, you got Dave Hart making the hire.
They got Rick Barnes in.
Yeah, I guess so. He Mr. Magoo's way into that one, but I mean his, you know, some of the other stuff he did there left a lot to be desired.
Well, I'm not saying that. As much as I hate Doug Dickey, he's probably the best athlete we've had. I mean, we've had a good athlete since then.
Well, football was certainly king under Doug Dickey's watch.
We were a lot better than all sports when Dickey was there, too.
Yeah.
Look, the Sears trophy, we're not anywhere in the radar screen or sniffing that anymore.
Well, Phil, you've got me contemplating the abyss right now. I've got a rope here. Maybe I could fashion a quick noose out of that. I don't know. The blade on the Bears' pocket knife is pretty sharp.
So you're going to sit there and try to get me excited about a JUCO commitment, which when's the last time we had a good JUCO coming here?
Well, probably Alvin Kamara. I don't know. Emmett Goodwin's pretty good last year. I've got high hopes for him.
Yeah.
Well, it's hit or miss on JUCOs, though. You know what I know.
Yeah.
I'd really have a big old main defensive lineman or linebacker. We need an all-SEC type performer at those positions. I like what Barry said. I agree. I think the secondary is going to be probably the strongest part of the football team next year. Maybe wide receiver could be. I mean, if they don't have any injuries there.
Well, Phil, I know you like speed, and according to the VolQuest guys, this guy, Art Green, is a track guy and has been clocked at 10.7 in the 100 meters.
Hmm.
So he can move.
What about that kid from Southern Cal that T. Long was trying to get in here? Has anything happened on him?
It's a good question. Velus Jones, the wide receiver?
Yeah.
Trey Wallace has been following that quote closely. Maybe we can get him to go in a follow-up there. I mean, I don't know. Do we have room for him at this point? You have to run somebody off.
Well, it's our style. Speaking of the House of Serbian, we're going to get him. Basketball?
I don't know. All I know is, again, the VolQuest guys were reporting that that seemed like a pretty likely thing to happen. What was it? Juris Plavsic, I guess, 7-foot, 240-pound Serbian big man transfer from Arizona State. So we'll see kind of in a holding pattern right there.
Yeah, I actually heard last night it's a done deal. It's just a matter of the paperwork getting done. That's what I heard last night.
There you go. Get some size on this roster.
Yeah, and then is Grant going to stay or go? Anybody know? Or
I mean,
if it goes, though, we need another guard.
Have to be, I think you'd like to add another guard anyway, but be pretty surprised if Grant Williams comes back at this point.
Yeah, I will be too, but stranger things happen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we'll see.
Grant Williams could be the Peyton Manning of basketball, you know?
Ah, man. That'd be pretty sweet.
I enjoy you acting like Skull can. That's kind of cool. I mean, is it the new gimmick for the summer now?
I mean, it's summertime, Phil. We get find ways to pass 3 hours.
Well, that's better than Game of Thrones, see?
No, we got Throne Zone.
Just a damn ray of sunshine.
I know, man.
Every damn day.
I know. Thanks, Phil. That was brutal. That was brutal. Well, you know, football program in the crapper. All the other sports kind of suck right now. Game of Thrones is awful television. Don't like any of your gimmicks. Pretty much everything sucks. W? See ya.
Good Lord.
Wow. All right. Thanks, Phil. Appreciate the phone call. Love that dude.
Were you aware that the Kellen Winslow trial started?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh.
We've got the docket coming up here in just a second. I mean, he's pretty much bananas, right? I mean, he's just he lost his marbles.
Yeah. I mean, he's...
Do you think it's CTE stuff? I mean, he was sexually assaulting like 80-year-old women, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's kind of a weirdo, sexual predator.
Obviously he has to be taken off the streets, but
old ladies, small children. There's
My God.
It's just disgusting.
I mean, you just wonder if. I mean, obviously he's got a screw.
I always thought he had a screw.
That's abnormal behavior.
Yeah.
Is what that is, and I'm not in any way covering up for it. I mean,
he's something.
Lock the door and throw
wired.
Away the key, as far as I'm concerned. Wrong. But that's somebody that's
he's
got
facing life in prison,
major issues. I don't even know he was having a trial. We'll have the docket coming up here in just a moment on Fox Sports Knoxville. The Drive, lots going on around the world of sports. Kevin on Twitter says, are you guys worried about Penny Hardaway at Memphis yet?
Who?
No. Well, no, I mean,
I know he's getting players in, but as long as he continues to coach the way he coached last year, you can have all the players in the world. You're going to get out coached by guys that know what they're doing with lesser talent.
I only saw one Memphis game last year, and that was the game against us. And they gave us a tough game down there. I mean, it was a crazy atmosphere.
That was probably the most up Memphis got all year.
They've got the two young guards, and then you're adding James Wiseman to the mix. I saw where they got the grad transfer from Arkansas State, assuming he stays in college. I know he's going through the draft evaluation thing. And then they are they've signed a couple of other top 100 prospects, and they are in the hunt for, I think, is it RJ Hampton, is like the top uncommitted player left out there. I mean, I'm worried. I'm not like quaking in my boots. I think we play with them. They got to come here. I would be worried if we were playing over there next year. If we had to go into that environment again with that roster
with
that he's assembling.
Team. Yeah. I'm not worried about Memphis. Not right now.
Here's just looking at the game, knowing what we know now. they're going to have some experience in the backcourt in Tony Harris's nephew and the other Lomax. They're going to have two experienced players in the backcourt. They're going to have probably a one-and-done generational type talent in James Wiseman down low. They're going to have the
Didn't one transfer, of the local kids dominate him in the state championship game? One of the Bearden kids did. Just dominated him. I don't know. Maybe he is a one and done.
He's the number one overall player. Yeah, I mean, he could be a bust, but I would be surprised. My general thoughts are that we will have to have excellent guard play from Lamonte and Jordan Bowden in that game. Like, they will have to lead the way. Who checks James Wiseman? I mean, that seems like a tough deal to throw to DJ Burns, who's probably going to be our most physical post presence next season. But
unless Grant comes back.
Oh, yeah.
And he schools him.
I'm just assuming right now that Grant's gone and Bowen. And if they come back, great. I mean, that changes everything.
What's wild is I know we've talked about it, that I've got a better feeling about Grant than I do Bowen.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just sort of assuming that they're both gone, but if Grant comes back, that changes everything. Then I think we'd be a prohibitive favorite. Right now, if that's the roster they're assembling and we have what we have, minus Grant Williams and Jordan Bowen, I wouldn't be surprised to see Memphis come in here a favorite next year.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of thinking the same thing over the weekend. I saw where they picked up that recruit, and I had the same thoughts. If both of them go, I'm a little concerned. But I still think we can play with them just because it's at home, and we still have a kind of the core. I mean, you still got Turner and Bowden.
Got some senior leadership coming back to the team, even without Grant Bowen. But here's the other thing. We talked about the environment that we ran into down there last year. This will probably be, next to Kentucky, the biggest game, home game of the season. It'll be a sellout.
Yeah,
it'll be a raucous
lit
crowd. It'll be crazy. You know, Penny Hardaway, people are going to be booing him, the fist balled up comment. Like, it's going to be some crazy college basketball atmosphere. And Thompson Bowling is a very difficult place to play when it is packed full and the crowd is frothing at the mouth like that. Add in the fact that Memphis will probably be starting and relying on a bunch of freshmen who've never been in anything like that. That works to our advantage. And Barnes is just – he's been very good at home. Like, we didn't lose at home this year. I think we lost once, maybe twice, the year before. Did we lose at home this year?
Not this year. Lost twice last year in North Carolina and Auburn.
Yeah, I mean, we don't lose at home very often.
And we've been really good on the road as well, so –
We were this year, obviously. But I think, you know, I'm not quaking in my boots over them. But you do have to be impressed with the job Penny has done in, as far as just assembling talent. And we knew that was going to be that's why they hired him, right? Is to load up the coffers with talent again. And he's done that. Now we'll see if he can do anything with it. I mean, if you get – they've got James Wiseman, Rajon Tucker, the grad transfer. They've got Lester Quionis, number 81 overall player in the ESPN 100. They have DJ Jeffries, a five-star forward, number 25 overall player, according to ESPN. Four-star center Malcolm Dandridge, the number 100 player in the country, and a four-star guard named Damian Baugh. They're also involved with uncommitted seniors R.J. Hampton, who's the number 5 player in the country, Precious Achiuwa, who is the number 17 player in the country, the number 19 player Trendon Watford, and recent Duke decommitment Rajon Boogie Ellis, the number 38 player in the country. So, like, let's assume they add one of those non-committed guys. Okay, so that's 6 top 100 players that they're at. I mean, like, he will have flipped that roster
in one year. Yeah.
I mean, you have to be impressed by that. He's done what they sought out to do.
Let's see what he can do with it now. He'll have the best ingredients.
And you know what? I think good. It's good for the rivalry. It's good for the state of Tennessee basketball. I mean, you remember when Pearl in 08, it was Tennessee and Memphis were at the top of the college basketball universe. Vanderbilt was very good that year. And then Belmont, ETSU, UTC were all having great seasons. Like, the state was the epicenter of the college basketball universe there for a little minute. It fell apart when Cal left and Vanderbilt went in the crapper.
Bruce got busted.
And Tennessee went in the crapper. Like, it fell apart. But I feel like it's a good thing if Memphis is good. It's just far as, like, I don't like losing
to them. Well,
it meant
a hell of a lot more that night that it was Tennessee and what we had. And they had – who all they have on that team? Derrick Rose.
I mean, it was Derrick Rose's team. Chris Douglas Roberts, I guess, Joey Dorsey, Antonio Anderson.
Those are probably two of the better Memphis-Tennessee teams that have ever faced off.
Yeah, it was a pretty – oh, yeah. I mean, that was by far the best collection of talent that series has ever seen. Although, you know, see what kind of team Barnes puts together and what kind of team Penny puts together and if they continue to play – it's only a three-year deal. They play this year, and then I think they play in Nashville the third year. And then
– I think it's going to keep going because I think they both get something out of it.
Yeah, basketball is so much different from football. Football, it's like the athletics directors get together in a smoke-filled room and just do whatever they want. You know, and I think they ask the coaches, you know, hey, do you want to do this? Some worse than another. Like Nick Saban probably gets a big say in scheduling. I don't know that Jeremy Pruitt gets that big a say right now. In basketball, it's on the coaches. Like, most coaches will have a guy, one of their assistants. I know Rob Lanier
did
it a lot.
Deals.
Yeah, but Barnes is heavily involved. If Barnes and Penny, if this heat between them is real, and I've been told that it is, like, Barnes will probably just walk away.
Just won't play him?
Yeah, just I don't want to deal with him. I mean, keep in mind, the reason the series got restarted is because of Tubby Smith and Barnes. They were buddies. They wanted to do it.
Yeah, they're collegial.
Barnes and Penny ain't collegial. Huh. They're not buddies. So it wouldn't be surprised to
Penny
me.
Penny needs
if,
to keep the man's name out of his mouth.
It wouldn't be a surprise to me if this is a three-year and then done thing, which would be a shame. All right, stay with us. We'll find out who's on the docket, brought to you by the Disability Advantage Group. Coming up next, it's Fox Sports Knoxville Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
The Drive's podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group today at 865-566-0800. Applying for disability can be very tedious. Having an experienced attorney on your side makes it easy. Call Disability Advantage Group, 865-566-0800, or visit online at dag-us.com.
The Docket, brought to you by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for disability benefits? Call DAG today at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
UFC star Conor McGregor no longer facing criminal charges in Florida for allegedly smashing and stealing a man's phone back in March.
What the hell is wrong with that guy?
Miami prosecutors dropped one charge of felony robbery and one of misdemeanor criminal mischief during a hearing on, today. Assistant State Attorney Khalil Madani wrote in a closeout memo that the accuser in this incident, 22-year-old Ahmed Abdirzak, Conor McGregor, doesn't have good relations with the Muslim community is what I'm starting to learn.
I don't think he's got good relations with anybody.
That's a good point.
I mean, he's basically a soccer hooligan on steroids. Not literally on steroids, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
He's just he's a hooligan.
Seemed like a lot of trouble to go through for. I mean, like, I guess he did ruin the guy's phone, but really, we're going to drag him to court and stuff over this?
Yeah, you have to with somebody like that because he's a bully.
Out of control?
Yeah, I mean, not even Conor McGregor can just walk around in real life and physically intimidate people just because you're an ass-kicking machine.
Speaking of out of control, Did you see what happened to our dude on the Appalachian Trail?
Yeah, he got arrested, didn't he? Or he killed somebody.
He killed somebody.
Yeah. Then he's been arrested now.
Yeah. The guy we talked about last month, maybe 2 weeks ago, who was on the Appalachian Trail confronting people. He had a pit bull. He had a machete. And they put out like an APB. Like they were searching for this guy. They find him. They found him on the Appalachian Trail. Brought him in. I don't know. They charged him or something. But eventually they let him go. He goes back to the Appalachian Trail and killed somebody with a machete over the weekend.
They should have just shot him.
Yeah, I mean, they had him right in their grasp and let him back out. 30-year-old James Jordan, also facing one count of assault with intent to murder, as well as the murder charges. Saturday morning incident that the FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Western District of Virginia is investigating, faces federal charges because the stabbing occurred on federal land in the southwestern corner of Virginia. The victims were male and female. Identities have not been disclosed. Details of the attack have not been provided other than there was a machete involved. So, well, you do the math on that one. Authorities received a call about the stabbing between 3:30 a.m. and 4 a.m. Here's the scary thing is they're on the Appalachian Trail, man. They might not have cell phone service. So if this happens in the middle of the night, like you got to get up and hike in the dark to go and get service, make a call. The police come from wherever. It's not just around the corner. They might have to travel for an hour or two to make it there and then hike to wherever the injured parties are.
Yeah.
On the Appalachian Trail. I mean, it could take hours.
That's why I don't want to hike the Appalachian Trail.
Well, I mean, this is – I mean, the chances of this happening are
– It happened.
It happened once for millions of people who have done it, right?
I guess.
I don't know if it's millions, maybe tens of thousands. He had gotten arrested a couple of weeks ago after threatening other hikers with a knife. He had drugs on him. He was given probation in order to pay fines. It was turned loose, and he goes out and ends up killing somebody.
In all seriousness, there's no way I'd do that without a gun. I wouldn't hike. I mean, just simply because of what you just went through. You're on your own.
Aren't there laws against that on national parks and stuff, though? Is that?
I'm not sure.
I think so. Yeah. I know a lot of them you can't bring firearms.
Even if you have a carry permit?
I think.
It's too bad T-Carp's already made his call today. He'll probably tell us.
Yeah. That is the docket brought to you by Disability Advantage Group, the official law offices of the drive. You can check them out online at dag-us.com. dag-us.com. This is formerly Ogle, Elrod, and Brill's Disability Department. And these guys have handled thousands of Social Security disability insurance cases, including all levels of appeals, and have helped clients obtain much needed compensation following a disability, an injury, or a long-term physical ailment. Again, dag-us.com. They offer free consultations, so just call them up or visit that website to see if you qualify for disability benefits. 865-566-0800. One call does it all. 566-0800. Just go online to dag-us.com. So I was telling you about a couple of things I got into this weekend with the rain and everything, just hanging out around the house. The first was Chernobyl. Definitely go back and watch that. Ugh. Yeah, two big thumbs up. And the accompanying podcast, which they promote at the end of the episode, was really good too. Second thing, speaking of podcasts, I texted you guys about this late last night because I felt I burned through this entire six-episode podcast in a single day yesterday.
What it was it? The Dr. Death?
Dr. Death.
I ain't listening to that. Why'd you even send that to me?
It's very macabre. You probably wouldn't like it.
I don't like the macabre stuff, Russ. You know this.
But this guy, Brandon, do you know what we're talking about?
No.
His name is Dr. Christopher Dunch, and he's a neurologist surgeon guy. Like, he operates on spines.
Yeah.
And they really don't know. I mean, he's in prison for the rest of his life. He basically butchered people. And they don't know if he did it on purpose or if he was just incompetent or some combination of the two. But He's a surgeon. He went to the University of Tennessee Medical Center in Memphis. And it was like, he's kind of a weird dude growing up, becomes a spinal surgeon with a minimal amount. They said, like, usually in your residency, you should be involved in thousands of surgeries before they turn you loose to practice medicine in the general public. They said he was involved in, like, maybe 100. So he wasn't properly trained. And he goes out and starts performing surgery and just immediately starts butchering people, like leaving screws in, cutting the wrong place, just like the doctors who said they saw it said it looked like it was one of us who just picked up a scalpel and decided to operate on somebody. So, I mean, it was like it wasn't like he made a couple of minor mistakes. Like it was like a child was operating on people. And he did this over 30 times in about 2 years.
Really?
Yeah. And there, you know, finally some doctors figured out, like, because one guy had to be called in to clean up the mess. And he opens up and he's like, what in the hell happened here?
Yeah.
And, like, they just kept passing him along because the hospitals would just kind of, like, wash their hands of him. Didn't want him to turn around and sue them, so they just, like, shuffle him off, and he would go to the next place and keep doing his thing. And eventually, he had, like, a trail. I think they said he did, like, 34 surgeries in 2 years, and 31 of them ended up being seriously physically injured.
Well, yeah, I mean, eventually, I mean, doctors talk. Well,
that's what
– and what got him best were, I would imagine, are the guys, the neurosurgeons that had to fix his –
Well, yeah, there were like two guys who were like, what in the heck is going on here? And there's like a procedure, you know, there's a board to like revoke their license and
right.
and all this stuff. And they're calling this board for, I think, like around a year saying, why aren't you guys revoking this guy's license? He is literally killing people. And they're like, well, there's a process you go through and you have to demonstrate intent and all this. And he's like, you don't understand. This guy is a serial killer. And finally, like, the last straw was, they're like, we have to go to the police now.
Right.
And they said, like, there's never been a case like this where a doctor is tried for the way they practice medicine.
Right.
And so
they had to prove that he was incompetent as a doctor, but he was a serial killer.
This podcast, it's called Doctor Death, and it is incredible.
So this guy... This guy operated at the hospital that was 10 minutes max from my house.
Right up the street from.
Yeah.
So if you had like broken your back or Warren or Pam had hurt their back and gone to this guy, they could have been one of these people.
I guess so. And I know for a fact that one of the craziest things about him, and I just found this quote, was he was just so jacked up and twisted in the head. And he would always tell people, you know, before he got caught that he was the best at what he did.
Yeah.
He would always go around arrogantly. Yeah. Just saying, I'm the best there is.
Like,
and he has
narcissist.
This one quote that said, everyone's doing it wrong. I'm the only I'm the only clean, minimally invasive guy in the whole state.
He said he was going to revolutionize the way they did spinal surgery.
And I really believe I really believe that he thought that he was doing everything right.
Yeah, and
when these people would end up paralyzed or dead, it was just a freak accident.
Well, no, that's good. My brother is in a similar line of work, and I was texting with him about this morning, and I said, you know, do you think that this guy was doing this on purpose because he's like a you know, psycho killer, or do you think he was just that incompetent? And my brother said, like, look, if he really was in it just to hurt people, like, there were a lot of different ways he could have gone about doing it. Like, thinks the guy was just really, 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 really bad at his job.
Really just kind of insane or something?
But he believed
was. And with mental problems. Like, he thought – there was this one guy they were talking about where he's operating on, and he ended up, like, sawing through the guy's esophagus, basically. And,
what?
And blood starts spurting everywhere. So he takes a sponge, jams it up into the guy's throat, and sews him up. Says, you're done. You're good. Guy wakes up. He can't talk. Still can't talk. They had to, like, do a tracheotomy. He's paralyzed for the rest of his life. Yeah.
It is scary.
They're, like, losing screws and stuff and people. He can't find. It is insane, dude. You want a podcast that will take over your life for a weekend?
I always worry. You ever worry about that? You've never had surgery.
I
worry.
Oh, that's what I think. I'm listening to this. I told my wife last night. I said, I never have like some sort of
like major,
invasive thing like that where they cut you open and
is there some place where you can check?
Yeah, that's the – well, you got to Google your docs and get recommendations and talk to people, you know, and like double-check, triple-check before you –
especially something like that. Like, I've had to see neuro people before, but these are people that have been practicing in Knoxville for 40 years.
And he's the only guy that, you know, in the – what are we up to? Almost 250 years of history in this country that's ever been tried for anything like this. It probably happened before.
Oh, sure.
Like the chances of that happening are slim and none, but I mean, just the fact
that did you ask your brother what he would do if he had found, like, discovered somebody was.
No, I didn't. I mean, I would hope they would. That's the big takeaway is not necessarily what happened because that's gruesome and shocking, all that, but how did it happen?
How the system failed?
How did it, yeah. And what can be done to fix it and the fact that, nothing.
Well, thank goodness that there were the, I guess, the doctors that, you know, were like, this guy doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah. He might still be down there butchering people. He might have moved away and taken up in another city. All right, quick timeout. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio back with more after this.
The Drive.
A listener said his dad was on that podcast in one of the episodes. It was Business Partners with Christopher Dunch.
What was that the guy's name? Dr. Dunch.
Dr. Dunch, yeah. Evil-sounding name, right?
Yeah, I'm not going to a neurosurgeon named Dr. Dunch.
He's in prison now for the rest of his life. Spoiler alert.
Good. Sounds like a Hannibal.
He operated one of his first surgeries. I promise we'll get off of this. One of his first surgeries was on like one of his best friends. When they got out of school together at Memphis, they moved down to the Dallas area to work together, and his friend had like an old football injury.
Right.
And he said, hey, dude's going to operate on me. He goes in there, and the guy wakes up from his surgery. He's paralyzed, can't move. And it's his friend, right? So he's like trying to get information out of like what's happening. He's like, oh, he'll be fine. Like when the swelling goes down, he'll be fine. And he's paralyzed to this day. It was like 20 years ago that he had the first surgery. And the doctor who went in and examined the guy said he basically decapitated him. Just like, I guess, like sawed through his neck, just kind of left him.
All right.
That's your buddy. That's another thing. Double check your doctors. Don't let your friends do surgery on you. Might seem like a good idea. Oh, I know Bear. He's a good guy. I like him. I can trust him. No. Go get a real doctor.
Yeah, no.
That's my professional medical advice for the day.
Don't let Bear do surgery on you?
I've had one person, and it was that I like knew on a personal level that did any kind of surgery on me. And even
– what?
Yeah.
But like a friend?
We're friendly, but
he
I always –
he was a doctor, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's board certified.
I picture like Bear, dude, my neck's – you grab that knife, jam it in my neck, see if you can't relieve this disc pressure.
No, this guy runs one of the biggest practices in town with multiple offices. He did it as a favor. I know him. I've got a we have a mutual friend. But even now, like, we've gotten real friendly since then. He sometimes listens to the show, but I still keep that. There's a line I don't cross because he's my doctor.
Updated odds on to rule Westeros from Odd Shark.
Let's hear it.
Bran is at even odds.
Really?
Do you think this is coming from?
God, I've been wanting to tell you all something.
From some sort of leak. Like
Now, somebody leaked on Twitter, and I looked at it last night. It was for last night's episode. I looked at it after I watched it. It was dead on. Like, I blocked the person.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Like, is there a leak out there? And
I hope not.
Well, I mean, Bran's been one of the – which I know we're kind of getting off in the weeds, but Bran's been one of the main characters from the get-go, and I just – his storyline can't just end the way it ended.
No.
Are we not going to see Sansa? Her beautiful red hair.
She's at plus 250. I mean, she's definitely in the mix.
Where's Gendry?
John plus 170.
John's a dead
Gendry
man.
Plus 900. Yeah, I feel like Gendry's in the conversation. You think John's a dead man?
I think John's a dead man. What if Samwell shows back up and says Gendry is not a bastard? He's, you know.
I go with Sam. I go with Davos as president. Sam as vice president.
I got to vote for that ticket.
I would love to see
a couple of solid, Davos upstanding dudes, self-made men. Yeah,
I would love to see good Davos
hearts
on
in
the
right hearts in the right spot.
I got something for you at the break. It's going to blow your minds.
Rick Butler has your top five at five coming up next. Stay with us. It's The Drive on Fan Run Radio.